unto him who loved us and washed us in his blood, forgiving us our sins and making us kings and priests to live together with him in his kingdom. To him be glory in the church, both now and always. Amen. The Word of God is the Old Testament lesson read to you a moment ago, from which I'd like to read two verses that follow the lesson, verses 10 and 11. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. These are the words. In the name of Jesus, missionaries, one and all. Today, I'm going to be making a bold statement based on this Word of God and show you some of the evidence of this statement, which says simply, the Word works. I'm sorry that there are so many in our world and in our society who believe the complete opposite. They are more prone to say, this Word, it doesn't work. We need to improve on it. And then the additions or the subtractions that take place with the Word. The Word works. First of all, we'll look at how there were also in Bible times those who believed that the Word couldn't work. Then we'll look at the call of the Lord that says we should forsake some of our ways. And finally, talk about His compassion that endures forever. The Word works. It is as certain, according to this text, as rain and snow come down from heaven. And we are called to plant, to preach, and to print this Word that works. If there is to be a harvest, these ingredients must be part of our mission effort to plant, to preach, and to print this Word which works. We know that farming is not an easy vocation. Farming is difficult. It requires a lot of effort. And it, above all, requires the hand of God to bless it. As there are outright skeptics and deniers in our day, so they were present also in Moses' day. The children of Israel were brought out of bondage and found themselves in slavery. Isn't that the way it is even today in the lives of many? Finding themselves out of bondage, they find themselves deeper into a new kind of slavery. The children of Israel had manna from heaven and quail for their banquets. But it wasn't good enough. They murmured and they complained. Even though they saw water gush forth from a rock, they decided that the word doesn't work. And even in those days, there were demonstrations. Demonstrations against the truth of God. Demonstrations against the fact that the word works. They murmured, they complained, and the snakes came. But God delivered them from the snakes by His holy word and acts. Still, they were not satisfied, and they built for themselves the golden calf. And once again, Moses needed to intercede, and God saved His people. And then the judges and the prophets came. People were not satisfied with the judges and their truth, which they proclaimed. They wanted a king, and God permitted a king to rule over them. And still, they were not satisfied. Even in the New Testament, the apostles had their moments when they believed that the word doesn't work. And so today, we have those who believe that a new word is necessary. A more refined word, a more current, up-to-date word. The old word doesn't satisfy. We saw this evidence itself during the political efforts to elect a new president. There were divergent views, of course. But after the president was elected and he began to name his cabinet, one of those individuals who ran for the office of president in his own party, who lost, and also in the other party, who lost, he made his appointment to an office of management and budget. This man was viciously attacked by one of the candidates for the office of president because of his Christian faith. This politician deemed this individual unsuitable for office because he believes that salvation is found alone through Christ. And he went on to say, someone with that kind of a religious belief system is really not someone who this country is supposed to be about. Isn't that interesting? Especially in this year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which says faith in Jesus Christ saves alone. The truth of the Scriptures in the minds of too many today seems to be altered as their statement. There's a new word in our vocabulary as of about 15 years ago. I call it the great T word. It stands for tolerance. We are to show tolerance, especially those who are Christian and who still believe that Jesus' word is true when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And of course, this today leads to persecution. And more Christians are being persecuted and dying for their faith in these years than in all past years combined. We know this personally, firsthand knowledge. We will talk about a man by the name of Muhammad Gurhan, who today is a Lutheran pastor, whose family, for the most part, has been persecuted, a sister-in-law and brother dying for the Lutheran faith, and others who have been buried as a result of their Christian Lutheran belief system. No wonder God in this text today calls us to forsake the old ways. Verse 7, he says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." Seek the Lord, it says, while he can still be found. Call upon him while he is still near. Do away with negative thoughts. The unrighteous man, let him forsake his thoughts and let him return to the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon. For your ways are not his ways, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. He suggests that opportunities abound to come to him. He is not to be spurned. On our own, we are unable to come to him, as we learned in the meaning of the second or third article. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost calls me by the gospel, by this word that works. Farming and vineyard growing grapes, as was indicated in the gospel lesson for today, requires cultivation, even spraying in modern age for noxious weeds. There are many that are sprouting and are thriving in the mission fields of our world. Obnoxious weeds like abortion on demand, the introduction of this whole matter of freedom of speech, freedom of lifestyle, freedom of gender, freedom of homosexuality, the noxious weed of the disintegration of the family, the noxious weed of suicide, a growing problem in our society today, the noxious weed of secularization, doing away with the things of God and His Word, the fairness doctrine which has been introduced, which is attempting to obliterate what was being learned here this morning before the service by the students in the confirmation class. The fairness doctrine which is being introduced is saying to us, those truths need to be eliminated. we have something far better that works better, is the world's litany and liturgy. But this text this morning tells us about the word that endures to the end, cannot be changed, cannot be chained, cannot be obliterated, especially this word about his compassion, which he says, he will have compassion on him. Let him return to the Lord and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Call upon him when he is near, when he can be found. And so we begin our service with a confession and absolution. Every service. It's the Lutheran way. At least most Lutheran way. Many churches no longer announce such a word of truth from the Lord's word, that word of absolution. He will abundantly pardon. We know this, for on the cross, Jesus spoke those words of forgiveness when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a word which needs to be spoken over our society and world today. Father, forgive them, for they know not where they go. We are here today to say that the word works. It accomplishes the purpose that God desires. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. Notice what Isaiah says. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. Not our mouth. Not some guru who feels he knows all truths. But the word that comes from the mouth of God, that word is the word will not return empty, but it will find success. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Like the rain that falls, it causes growth. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word, it goes. It prospers. It is successful. And since you are involved with us in the mission of printing the word as fellow missionaries and as people who support the work of the Lutheran Heritage Foundation through the budget of your church and by offering to us the services of the wisdom of your pastor on our board of directors, I'm here to tell you this morning that your investment in this word is working. And I have brought the evidence with me this morning. And of course, I didn't rent the truck to come here, so I couldn't bring every book that's listed on this sheet of paper that lists every book we've published up to this last week, some 884 titles that have been published in 105 languages in 90 countries of the world. Books like Luther's Small Catechism in the Moor language, which is the language of Sudan. Can't forget the Slovaks. We have done some work in the Slovak language. This is one of the works. It's the Heidelberg Disputation that's in the Slovak language, plus some other works that have been done listed on this book list. This is a phenomenal book. It's called The Book of Concord, and it's printed in the Amharic language, which is the language of Ethiopia. We were there a year or so ago distributing this Book of Concord for the first time to pastors serving the largest Lutheran church in the world, just having become that in the last year, taking first place from Sweden, growing church of Ethiopia. This Book of Concord is now in their hands. We distributed at a pastor's conference to 3,500 Lutheran pastors, half of the pastors of the Ethiopian Lutheran churches. And in order to help them study this Book of Concord, not just to put it on their shelf, we have published this little study guide, which is titled Getting Into the Concord, which enables them to study the truth of the Scriptures. We've heard much about Haiti. This is a French volume. One only brought the first volume. There are three of these, same size. French Dogmatics and French Homiletics. That's French doctrinal statements and beliefs of Lutherans. And Homiletics, the art of preaching that word of God, edited and written by the late Wilbur Christ. Another catechism or hymnal, this is the Acholi hymnal, which demonstrates that we do hymnals as well. This is also the Acholi language, which is Sudan. We don't forget the children and their parents. Child's Garden of Bible Stories, CPH's best-selling book ever. This one is in the Chinese language. We've done about 15 or 20 different language. Child's Garden, this one is the French Child's Garden. And of course, we want to reach out to the Arabic-speaking people who are represented among the Muslims especially. This is the Arabic Child's Garden of Bible Stories, as well as the Arabic Catechism being used, I know, in Michigan quite readily and in many places of our world. Also, the Augsburg Confession, which is written and in the Kusal language, which is the language of Ghana, just to give you a little idea of the countries where we're working. The Revised Catechism, Updated Catechism in the Finnish language. And because there's a new Lutheran church that has organized in Finland, due to the state church having forsaken the Book of Concord and Lutheran teachings, this new Lutheran church also wanted Lutheran hymns. And we have published a Finnish hymnal. We've also published the Finnish Bible, which has in the front of it the Catechism, the Augsburg Confession, table of duties and other items from the Book of Concord. We've also done the Bible in the Spanish edition. Nearly 100,000 copies of this are being used in the Americas. It's unique because it has the full catechism in the front of this Bible. We've heard from prison chaplains who tell us how valuable this book is because they are unable to take anything into the prison but a Bible. When they take our Bible, they take our catechism as well to instruct, teach. And yes, you've heard of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. I'm holding in my hand here evidence that the word works in Germany, of all places, where Lutheranism has all but been abandoned, churches being empty, and the catechism truths being forsaken, and people saying the word doesn't work. Today, there are thousands of immigrants coming into Germany from Iran and Afghanistan, and they are Farsi-speaking people. And we have prepared for the pastors of Germany and for these immigrants the Farsi Catechism. And I'm telling you this morning that this is probably the most significant event of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation that you won't read about anywhere except in our newsletter. But it's exactly what Luther did 500 years ago when he translated the Bible into the language of the people. We are translating the catechism so that people can better understand the Bible in their own language. The word works. Wasn't all that long ago when our parents passed into glory, and it came time for us, when my parents passed away, to have that proverbial auction sale on the farm. Each member of the family was given an opportunity to take an item from the home that would serve as a special keepsake before the auction took place. The item that I chose didn't require a truck or trailer to haul it off. It was just a little item, a plaque that hung on the family farm home for 62 years of my parents' marriage. And before I placed it on the wall of my office, I took it to a printer and I asked him, could you reproduce this in its exact form in a bookmark? And today, all over the world, this little bookmark appears that has the statement, Jesus never fails. This also is appearing now as a special gospel tract in various languages throughout the world, in which we talk about the fact that people fail us, that things fail us, and eventually our health fails us. But there is one who does not fail us, and that is Jesus. And we know this from the evidence we see from Calvary, where on the cross he shed his blood, and he rose from the grave triumphantly, declaring that he has met our deepest need. He did not fail us in our need of forgiveness. He met our deepest need. The word works. It tells us of his ever-living love for us. He did not fail us. And I ask you this morning, if he did not fail us in our deepest need, will He not help us in our lesser needs as well? The Word works. With your help, let us prepare, proclaim, preach, and print so that others around the world will know the Word works. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith unto life eternal. Amen.
Amen.